Grace be and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Let us praise the Word incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose victorious, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Let us praise the true Redeemer, praise the one who makes us one. In the name of Jesus, amen. We hear again from Matthew 12, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In the creation, in the beginning, we hear of the 6 days of creation. And it's an interesting thing when I ask seminarians and theology students in general or about the creation event. They start talking about how God created us and how, you know, this he did in 6 days and so on. Or else they will say there are 6 24-hour days, which I do believe, of course. But yet, the point of Genesis is that we may learn more about God in his own character, his own activity. And each and every day we see a God who says, and he said, and he said, and he said. God likes to talk. He's a speaking God. He is one who speaks and creates through the Word. Through the very Word made flesh, he brings things into some physical existence, some material existence, in which we speak of as the earth, all of God's creatures, man and woman. And it is through this Word our Heavenly Father creates and brings his creation to existence and sustains his creation as well. God likes to talk. And even as we hear or learn the word of inspiration, God breathed. The nature of such breath is one of speaking. As he speaks, he brings life through his Word. And that Word who comes to us is nothing that Word made flesh, which is Christ himself. The Father comes and speaks the Word from heaven. To speak another word, to hear another word, to receive of another word, meant death. It meant something in which God had not attended, something that was not of God. To speak something else that is of another word, again, means death. When we speak another word other than that of God's, it means death. We who have been created in the image of God somehow reflect that very character of who God is. We are speakers. We are confessors. But again, but speaking another word that is not of God means death. Outside of God's creative activity, outside of God's sustaining love. So as we read, for example, in the second commandment, you should not take the name of the Lord God in vain, or should not misuse the name of the Lord your God. It speaks not simply of speaking bad words or using swear words. It is speaking about confession. For if you confess wrongly, it not only breaks the second commandment, but means death. If you speak of God falsely. For if you confess God falsely, you then confess other gods, who is not the true God revealed to us through the word from heaven, namely that of Jesus Christ. Paul uses such language as he says in Romans, with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For this word saves. This word that is not of our own making, but that of heaven, that is of Christ. It's the same thing. It's kind of odd, you know. By your words, you'd be justified. Well, I thought I'm justified by Christ, as we read in today's lesson. But this word is not of our own. It is, again, of Christ. It is the word from heaven. We also hear Paul say, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. As we hear the word of God, we receive of it, and then is able to repeat back and confess of that very heavenly word that is of Christ. the very fleshy word of God as we confess unto our salvation. It reads again, I tell you, on that day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When we pray, you'll note that the end of the second commandment, and Luther's definition says, prayer, praise, and giving thanks. Prayer, praise, giving thanks are nothing but confessions of the faith. When you are praying with someone, you are confessing a faith and life which God has given to us. It is not merely founded in an ex corde prayer that is simply one that is drawn from the heart, because even evil can come from the heart. But it is that prayer that comes to the heart which has been first given. That is that prayer of the words that first been given from heaven, founded upon the promises of God, which finds its origin and its place in the person of Jesus Christ. When we pray with all authority. For this prayer is the prayer of heaven, the prayer of promise, the prayer that is found with its fulfillment in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That all our cares, all our struggles, all those things which we deal with in our life, and we cry out to God, Abba Father, have mercy upon me, all our prayers are answered in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. When we go and receive of the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, where Jesus said that the blood of the New Testament which is my blood, there in all our answers of our prayers, fulfilled in the blood of the Lamb, that takes away our sickness, takes away our eternal death, to take away our sin, that we may know life everlasting. So when we pray with the words of God. Prayer first must be taught. The disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. To learn to pray, we first must listen. Then we are able to speak. Set prayers are very helpful, because they don't belong to simply you, but to all in whom God has ordained. When I was little, I was kind of scared sometimes in the dark. And I was laying in my bed in my room, and I was afraid to put the sheets over my head in my dark room, because I'd be afraid to be under the covers. And then I was afraid when I pulled the covers down and looked around my room and seen all those little shadows and all those things in my room, that made me frightened too, you know? It's a little scary sometimes. But then when I prayed this prayer, it's one that Martin Luther had written. It says, let thy holy angels watch over me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. I imagine God's angels overcompassing my bed. God protected me from anything that was scary. Because I knew when I prayed, I was praying something that was true about what God is. He protects us and watches over us and keeps us under his care and his protection, knowing that God is always with you. And that is the strength, even as we pray within the hospitals, that someone will return someone to health, and even though you pray, they die. But your prayer is true, because God is one who heals in Christ Jesus. Even as we are dying, we have life eternal. For as King Solomon says in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, that God has put eternity within our own hearts. Today we are people of eternity. Our prayers are true. Christ has redeemed us. The good fruits in the passage in which is spoken here, it's not as much of what we do that is the good fruits that come out from the heart, if you will, but has a lot more to do with Christ. Luther says we are holy people, not by what we do, but what we have received. What we have received, that is, he said, God's word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, holy absolution. There are in these things that I know who I am, and that I know I have life and salvation. It is only then will we have the pure heart, that we may confess that from our heart, that which is almost true, as we may confess with the pure words from heaven of the life and salvation which we have received through the Word made flesh, that we may never run with a lack of certainty, but the certain truth from heaven, that Christ has come to redeem us, and that our prayers are certain and true. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.